Tonight I want to kind of get you thinking in the direction that we're going with our lesson, and I guess the best way is just to start by asking a question. And the question is this: how do you tell if you're spiritually mature or if you're still needing to grow some in your maturity as a Christian? What are the marks of maturity or immaturity? I think that's kind of interesting. When we become Christians, we start out with a great zeal for God and we want to grow, and it is our desire to grow, but maybe somewhere along the line we find that we have become stagnant in our growth, our spiritual growth, and maybe we've even become apathetic. But we need to understand, if that is the case, that we are there and be prodded to even do or to understand how to grow, some of the things that are necessary. There was a teaching professional one time that noticed that there was a job that was being offered that would mean a promotion for her. And she put down, as she applied for this position, that she had been teaching for 25 years. She later found out, however, that the job had been given to another teacher who had only been teaching for 1 year. And she could not understand why there was the deference to the individual, the young woman that had been teaching for 1 year. So she went to her principal and she asked why that had happened. And the principal's response was this. He said, "I'm sorry, but you haven't had 25 years experience as you claim. You have had 1 year's experience 25 times." In other words, what he was saying is, you haven't improved as a teacher. You just kept doing the same thing over and over again for 25 years. Sometimes it's that way with us as Christians. We don't grow. We keep repeating the same things over and over again, the first year of our spiritual life, so to speak, and we never have really grown as Christians. You know, one of the things that we need to be able to see in the body of Christ is individuals who, when they've been Christians for a long period of time, there is a depth of spiritual maturity there that is evident in their lives, in our lives. And the lack of spiritual growth, what we might call spiritual immaturity, is a dangerous thing. It's dangerous because it prohibits us from being able to experience some of the blessings that could be ours enjoyed in Christ that only a mature Christian can truly understand and appreciate. It's dangerous because if we remain spiritually immature, we don't fully appreciate our standing in Christ and the blessings that we enjoy in Christ. So it's important that we grow, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 18, that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tonight I want to share with you a text. It's found in Hebrews chapter 5, in which the writer of this letter wants to go on and talk about the priesthood of Christ, but he can't because his readers are immature. And they find what he wants to teach too difficult for him or for them. And so, actually, what he has to do is, for a brief period of time, he must digress. He must back up and cover some basics before he can move on. Now, that being said, my question tonight is for each of us. I'm asking you, because Paul says that we need to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, I'm asking you to examine your own life and ask yourself some questions. Am I growing as a Christian? Am I maturing in my faith, or am I simply repeating over and over again my first year, so to speak, remaining spiritually immature? And do you know whether or not you're spiritually immature? Tonight, as we look at our text, which begins in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, I want to share with you, and I'm not saying that these are all of the things that we might point to that would indicate spiritual immaturity, but I want to share with you four things that the Christians to whom this gentleman wrote did struggle with, and how he pointed them to their own immaturity. But in verse 11, here's what he says: "Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, as you look at these verses, these four verses, I think there are four things that he brings out that identify spiritual immaturity in our lives. Number one, he says, you are dull of hearing. He doesn't even say you are dull of hearing, but he says you've become dull of hearing. And because of that, there are some things he says that are hard to explain. It isn't that the material is too difficult. It may be difficult, but the problem is not with the material. The problem is with the people's inability to receive the material. You see, if you'll notice here in verse 11, he says, you have become dull of hearing. It indicates something had happened in their spiritual progress, in their spiritual growth. They may at one time have been like the Bereans that we read about in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, who, when Paul preached to them, received the word with all readiness. And most converts are this way. Early on in their lives, when they first obey the gospel, they are excited about their new life and they want to read the Word of God and they want to grow in their faith and they want to learn what it means to be a Christian and all that goes along with being a faithful child of God. So they listen with great readiness and that spiritual growth occurs, but sometimes down the road there creeps in this apathy. And with the apathy, they become dull of hearing. And when a person becomes dull of hearing, what begins to happen is that they, instead of making progress, they regress or digress in their spiritual maturity. So that causes us to have to ask ourselves a question. And the question is this: am I dull of hearing? And there are some questions that you might even ask yourself further than that. Do I consider the Bible dull? You know, I find it dull reading this. Is that the way you might respond to that question? Do you find Bible classes dull? Do you find sermons dull? Is there anything that is spiritual in nature, maybe singing or praying, that you say, that's dull? Then I think we would have to acknowledge, and I would have to say to you, that you've become dull in hearing. When I was first starting out as a youth minister at Walnut Street Church of Christ, one of the ladies that sat in the audience at that time was head of the English department at David Lipscomb College. It was college then. And whenever it was my turn to preach, I would do the best I could, but you know, being a young man, you're still working on your delivery and your technique and your various things that you do and within a sermon. And so I asked her one day when she came by the office, I would like for you to critique my sermons. I would like for you to listen to me, and if the grammar is wrong or if I do something I shouldn't do, let me know. Would you do that for me? She said, no. She said, because when I sit out there, I'm not sitting there as a teacher to critique your sermon. I'm sitting there as an individual wanting to learn God's will. And I'm not listening for those things. I'm listening for the truth. I thought, boy, that's encouraging. It's also a little bit intimidating, too. But when we listen, when we have young men that may be a little bit inexperienced that stand up here to share with us God's Word, are we listening to their uhs and their ahs and the various things they do? Are we listening to, they're sharing the Word of God and I want to hear what truth they may impart to my that it applies to my life tonight. You see, if we become dull of hearing, then we are looking for people who will tickle our ears. And Paul talk to young Timothy about such individuals. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires." And he goes on in verse 4 and he says, "And will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside the myths." You see, if we're looking for somebody that just says it in a way that, oh, I like the way they say that, rather than what is the truth that they're proclaiming, then we may have become dull in hearing. Secondly, this writer here in Hebrews chapter 11 says that another aspect that marks us as being spiritually immature is our what he calls our inability to teach others. If you'll notice in verse 12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for somebody to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God." He said, you ought to be teaching. You've been a Christian for a long time. You ought to be one who is teaching the Word of God. You've had time to learn and to grow. And a natural response of growth in our lives as Christians is to bear fruit. And one of the ways in which we bear fruit is to teach others the message of Christ. Now, I don't believe that what he's saying here necessarily is formal teaching, where someone stands in a classroom or stands before an audience and teaches in a formal way, because not everyone is given the gift of teaching. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says that he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as pastors and teachers. He gave some that gift, but not everyone. And James says, let not many of you become teachers. James 3, verse 1. For you shall incur a stricter judgment. So not everyone has the gift to stand before an audience and teach the Word of God. But it does not mean that we cannot teach informally. And by that I mean in which we sit down with other people and share the good news and the hope that we have within ourselves concerning our salvation and what we long for. As a matter of fact, Peter tells us, 1 Peter 3, verse 15, that we are to be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us. It's teaching. Sharing the truth of what you believe. And what this writer says is you ought to be teachers, but in one way or another, for whatever reason, they were in need of having someone else teach them. And he says, you have need that someone teach you the first principles. And the fact that they needed first principles again indicated that they were spiritually immature. Now, assuming that sufficient time had passed for them to be teaching others, and that's what he's saying, why weren't they teaching? It's because they weren't founded themselves. They hadn't been studying themselves. Which brings us to a question for us, for each of us to ask ourselves, what about me? Either formally or informally, am I sharing the good news with someone else? Am I teaching someone else? Am I sharing my faith? Or am I a person that is saying, I really don't know what to say to someone else? Sounds like maybe you've forgotten the first principles, and you need to have someone teach you again. Because when you look at Acts chapter 8, verse 4, and the persecution that arose over the stoning of Stephen, what do you find? Is that those who were scattered went everywhere, and as they went, they were sharing the Word of God. It wasn't, and the preachers went everywhere, and the apostles went everywhere. The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. It was those that were a part of the body of Christ. They're the ones that went everywhere, and they went out teaching and sharing the good news. And folks, that's what we have the ability to do if we are mature. If we progress to the point where we somehow are teaching others about Christ, then we have matured. But if we're not doing that, we're still spiritually immature. A third thing that he brings out in this text is the reason that they're not teaching, I think, but it's another sign of immaturity. If you notice the latter part of verse 12, he says, you have come to need milk and not solid food. And then notice verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant or a babe. You see, it's the diet that they'd been fed, and they were feeding themselves. Now, milk is necessary. It is needed for the babes of Christ. When a person is first growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they first have obeyed the gospel, there is a need that they be fed the milk of the Word. They've got to start with the basic principles. You don't take an infant, bring them home from the hospital, and say, okay, here's a good steak for you. I see some ladies laughing at that one. You understand, babies get that soft food because they haven't developed the ability to digest the stronger food. So sometimes as Christians we need that spiritual pablum, we might say. But then if we have received that and then regressed, which happens to be the case here, then we are spiritually immature. Because their diet, as he says here, contained or was involved the elementary or the rudimentary or the first principles of what he calls the oracles of God. Later in chapter 6, he will refer to it as the elementary principles of Christ. And that's where they were. You see, just as a physical babe eventually grows up and desires solid food, so we as Christians are to reach a point in our own lives that we want something that sustains us. We want something that takes us deeper. And a babe in Christ can't grow unless they move beyond first principles. As a matter of fact, if you look in chapter 6 here, notice what he says involved in the first principles. Laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of instructions about washing, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. You see, they were still saying, teach us first principles, teach us first principles. And he's saying, we need to move beyond that. We need to get into the meat of God's Word. We can't keep going back to these first principles. You need to be going further. But the problem is that the diet just consisted of milk. And when the diet only consists of milk, what happens? We become unskilled in the Word of God, unexperienced in the Word of God. We remain babes. So the question for us tonight, as we think about this, is it possible that my diet has been a little lacking lately? Am I still feeding on the milk of the Word? Or am I getting meat? Am I studying those portions of God's Word that challenge me to think and move me further than where I have been? Am I asking the Bible teachers in this congregation, challenge me, make me think deeper about God's Word, push me further than I've been? Because when we grow, our thinking is challenged. We do begin to study things that we may not have seen before, and we see things that God intends for us to see. I dare say that if you're a person who has read and reread and reread the Word of God, you probably have found what I have found, is that each time I go through a text, it doesn't matter how many times I've been through that text before, each time I go through it again, I find something I missed before that I didn't see earlier in my study of that text. Because I began to see things that are placed there by the Holy Spirit for us to pick up on. One more thing found here at the very end of this chapter. Notice what he says. He says, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. A final mark, at least from our text tonight, of spiritual immaturity is the inability to discern. Normal spiritual growth exercises the senses. You see, even the milk of the Word is designed to train our mental faculties, to help us understand things by exposing us to the difference between what's right and what's wrong. And in this way, our spiritual sense is trained, it is exercised. We understand that. And then because of our practice, as he says, what we find is we are able to discern between good and evil. With clear examples in the Bible of things that are right and things that are wrong, we begin to understand when this happens, this is right. When this happens, this is wrong. If this choice is given to me, then this is a good choice. But this choice over here is not good. It is a bad choice, and I don't need to go down that road. And we thereby develop the ability to discern between what's good and what's evil. We become able to apply general principles to specific situations. Some of you are hunters, and you love to be out in the woods. And you know, the interesting thing is you can see a deer rub a ways away. Where a novice out in the woods wouldn't think anything of it. What? Deer rub? Where? Well, right there. See where that bark's been rubbed off that tree? Or a deer rut. Deer's been right over here. Really? How you know? Why? Because from your years of hunting, you have had your senses trained to discern those things. You come to understand what to look for, what to notice. Those of you that are fishermen, you have learned where to go, where to catch the fish, when they're probably going to be biting and when they may not bite. Why? Because you've been doing it. Your senses are trained to discern those things. But good and evil require some training too in order to discern. And we become able to apply those principles to situations that we encounter in our lives so that specific condemnation of a practice is not always necessary. A preacher doesn't have to stand up and say, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, because people have had their senses trained through the study of God's Word to know, I don't need to go down that road. And we can discern when something is more like the good or more like the bad. Spiritual immaturity lacks the ability to discern. A babe in Christ does not have spiritual maturity. They have difficulty discerning the difference between what's right and wrong. Good teaching versus bad teaching. Good conduct, righteousness versus bad conduct, unrighteousness. And inability to discern leaves them open to being, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Everything that comes along. Well, this looks good, that looks good. Let's go that way, let's go this way. They become, as James says when he tells us to ask for wisdom, and if we ask not in faith, he says that we become like a wave of the sea, tossed and driven by the wind. He says we are double-minded men, unstable in all of our ways. So the question I have for you is this. Do you have the ability to discern? Can you apply general principles to specific situations in your lives? Or do you need someone saying to you, thou shalt not? You see, one of the goals of our eldership is not to constantly have to stand over us and say, don't do this, don't do that. That's the goal of a parent. You try to train up your children so that you one day can walk away from them and know they're going to make good choices because they have been taught well and trained well, and you don't have to be looking over their shoulder saying, Joey, don't do that. Susie, that's wrong. Because you've taught them. And you see, the equipping of the saints that Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 4 is equipping for the work of the ministry to the building up of the body of Christ, so that we're no longer tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. That's the goal of good spiritual teaching and nourishment, is to train us to discern. Are you able to recognize when a doctrine is or is not a part of God's Word? Or are you dependent upon somebody else to spoon-feed you, to tell you this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do, to take you by the hand and lead you along? There there are other indicators that we could share tonight of spiritual immaturity. We could talk about things like behaving in carnal ways or possessing strife and envy in our lives and jealousy. But here in this specific text, the four things that he brings out that we need to consider tonight are these things. Number one, dullness of hearing. Have I grown to the point where anything spiritual, if it isn't just something that tickles my ears, I'm bored with it. It doesn't mean much to me. And so I become dull of hearing. Are we people who have, because of our lack of spiritual growth, developed an inability or never developed the ability to teach someone else the Word of God, whether formally or informally? Are we people who are still drinking the milk? We haven't gotten to the meat of the Word. Are we individuals who can not discern between good and evil because we've never had our senses trained to do that? Because these are things that mark us as spiritually immature. They should serve as warning signs in our lives to tell us, whoa, need to do something here. Need to change my life. Need to move in a different direction. And Peter warned against falling away. If anything, he tells us that spiritual growth is the antidote to falling away. So what I would say to you is that when we start losing people, is it possible that we haven't developed a spiritually mature body? Look at what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. It's up here before you. He says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away by the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." I hope that you're growing, that you're maturing, because the only way this body of Christians, the only way this church is going to grow is if we're growing from the inside out. If we're growing in our knowledge of God's Word, in the grace of God. Tonight, I'm asking you to examine yourself. And if you're not growing, then there needs to be change. And that starts with repentance, asking God, please forgive me because I haven't been doing what I need to do to grow, to learn, to be able to discern. But if you're not a child of God, let me say this. The growth process starts with you putting on Christ in baptism and dying to an old self and an old way of life and living a new life that honors God. It begins with confessing the name of Christ, repenting of sin, and putting Him on in baptism. Have you done that? If not, why not tonight, as together we stand and sing?